The Trump administration has been sending out mixed messages on the reasons for the policy change on separating families. Some have said it's just about following the law. Others have suggested it's about discouraging undocumented immigration. Many critics say that's definitely what it's about. Anna Altman has been looking into immigration deterrence strategies in other countries. She's a PhD candidate in political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Detention, I think, is the big one that refugee rights advocates are really worried about. Australia has an across-the-board policy of detaining people who arrive, even if they're applying for asylum, by boat. A lot of countries in Europe also have policies of detention, and obviously the United States does too. Another type of policy would be something that decreases the likelihood that you're successful in applying for asylum. So in 2016, the EU made a deal with Turkey that had a number of components to reduce asylum seeking, but one of them was that if you're caught trying to enter the EU illegally through Greece, you will basically be put on a blacklist and unable to receive resettlement, even if you have a credible claim to refugee status later on. Certainly, that would count as a form of deterrence.
What about immigration deterrence policies generally? What's the evidence that they work or don't work in reducing illegal immigration?
There isn't much empirical evidence that deterrence policies work, and there are a lot of logical reasons to think that it wouldn't. So something like the EU-Turkey deal that I mentioned before, folks will argue that it's working because since 2016, crossings through the Aegean Sea have definitely decreased, but it's hard to say if that is because of a deterrent effect or because of increased border enforcement, so more people are simply being caught. And it's also the case that during that same period of time, crossings via other routes, for example, through the Balkans, actually increased. And it would make sense to think that maybe if you're deterring people by entering in one manner, you're just raising the likelihood that they attempt to enter in another. The other reason is that we talk about pull factors, but there's also the question of push factors, right? People leave their countries for a reason, especially asylum seekers. And if you're thinking about deterrence as a sort of cost-benefit analysis on the level of the individual, you know, things would have to be pretty bad in a country that they're attempting to get asylum in for it to be worse than staying in a country that they had to flee.
Are there any international or UN guidelines for immigration policies based on deterrence?
The UN has been pretty clear that deterrence itself is not an appropriate response to asylum seekers because the whole system of asylum is meant to protect people who need protection. Countries are assigned a responsibility, essentially, to protect them. That said, that type of law is pretty murky. What is less murky, unusually clear, actually, in international law, is the treatment of children and families. The UN Declaration of Human Rights highlights the family unit as something that's important or critical for human rights. And the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which the U.S. is a full party to, gives children the right to legal treatment appropriate to their age. So all of these international instruments deal with this type of policy with respect to children pretty clearly.
Anna Altman is a PhD candidate in political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Thanks, Anna.
Thank you so much, Carol.